time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hi, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you thrive no matter what life throws your way. Now, I know that life throws a lot your way, but I also know that a lot of times we throw a lot our own way by thinking about what's down the road. I've talked about this several times, that one of the nodal events of my life, one of those wake-up moments of my life, was when I was sick a number of years back now. It's almost been a decade, but those lessons I learned then still resonate with me for one simple reason. They were coming from a period of time when I didn't know what was coming down the road. At the point, I was diagnosed with a very strange disease that it took a while for them to even figure out, about 6 weeks for the doctors to keep trying to figure out what was going on. And they finally identified what it was. And I remember the phone call with my wife broken down in tears when the doctor told her that he felt like I only had about a 6-7% chance of recovery, and that there was a 85-90% likelihood of very quickly being disabled, permanently disabled, eventually leading to death. And that was a wake-up call. Now, that was a wake-up call in a lot of ways. One of the places it was a wake-up call was because this disease, you know, at that point, a decade ago, there was a lot out there on the internet, and this disease was out there, right? And there was research about it and understandings and people telling stories. And so the most well-meaning of people, family members and friends, would frequently tell me the worst case scenario of what could happen to me. I remember getting the phone calls about, did you know that your heart could just stop beating? Did you know that your kidneys could fail? Did you know that you might go blind? And on they would go, as if I hadn't already seen that information, as if I wasn't already wondering what was coming my way, and as if the doctor hadn't already explained this to me. And so one of my core mechanisms was to step back and say, I can't even be propelling myself down the road because I had enough to deal with right then. And at that moment, it really was that. You know, it was a matter of me trying to get up and plow through the next day. And at that point, it was a struggle. I would get out of bed. I would take a shower, get dressed, go to my office, work as long as I could, go home, eat a little bit, and go to bed. That was my entire life. And there were some days when it really was not me doing much except for going through the habits of that, the kind of the rote memorization of what I was trying to do. That's all that got me through that next day. It was a time of absolute misery, of frustration, of physical pain, of emotional pain. And I adopted one strategy. I would not play what if. Instead, I would simply say to people, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's let it play out. And one of those lessons for me breaks down into this. It's not what if, it's what is. And I realize that we get caught in the what if. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? And we often do that in both positive ways and negative ways. We do it in worrying ways and wishing ways. The worries and the wishes get us into great trouble over time. And the reason is because the worries and the wishes are all about out there, not about what's here, but out there. And when we get into worries and wishes, either one keep us from focusing on what's going on right around us right now. You see, your brain, your mind, is designed to be a worst-case scenario builder, worthy, really, of awards. You know, Hollywood-worthy stories that we tell ourselves about the dangers, the threats, the possibilities. You know, what if we win the lottery? What if I get this horrible disease? What if my spouse leaves me? What if I meet someone wonderful? And all of those scenarios we play out in our mind. We ask, what if, what if, what if? Now, there's the wishing part that always can get us into trouble. The problem with wishing is it keeps us from looking at where we are. I wish I would win the lottery is different than what do I do with the finances coming in right now, the dollars coming into my account. And so there's a lot of times when we get stuck in the wishing and not take action. You know, I wish I had a new job. Often people don't deal with a job now in order to build to the job they want because they're wishing for the job to come out of the blue. They're wishing for some downward hope. But the bigger concern I have is the worries. The wishing, you know, maybe sometimes that's a nice way of distracting ourselves. And we can talk some more in the future about the problems with wishing. But today I really want to focus on what happens when we get in the worries. One quote I love is William Ralph Ing that said, "Worry is interest paid on trouble before it comes due." I also like this quote by Leo Buscaglia. "Worry never robs tomorrow of sorrow. It only saps today of its joy." See, when we get into this place where we're always worrying about what's coming down our road, we get stuck. We get caught in all of those future events that might happen, and it distracts us from dealing with what is happening. We're in a world exploding right now with people looking at mindfulness. Mindfulness is simply a matter of being aware of what's going on around you right now, of what's in front of you, what's right in your immediateness, the touch, the feel, the smells, of being there, being present, showing up, as I've talked about in previous Thriveology episodes. And that showing up is about really being in the moment. We hear mindful and we think our mind's got to be full, but really the mindfulness is minding what's going on right now, being focused on the present moment. And when we're not, we get to into playing these scenarios out and we worry about what's going to happen and what's coming our way. And so we see dangers down the road and threats down the road, and we begin to imagine what could be. Julius Caesar says, "As a rule, men worry more about what they can't see than about what they can." The things just around a bend in the road keeps us captivated on what could happen rather than the road that's right in front of us and the events that are happening right now that can affect us and that need to be addressed right now. They get lost in the shuffle because we're so focused down the road. Have you ever found yourself having a conversation with somebody and have no recollection of that conversation because you were wondering or worrying about what was going to happen? Now, when I've talked about this, some people say, "So you don't think we should think about the future? You don't think we should make plans?" And my response is, there is a huge difference between worrying and asking the what ifs and making plans. So if you're going to make a plan, sit down and be conscious with it. Be aware of it. Be mindful of what you want to have happen. And approach it from a practical level, not just a worrying level, not just a wishing level, but sitting down and really specifying what you want to happen and how you're going to get there. List your goals, because goal setting is a great thing to do. The problem is, a lot of times we think we're thinking about the future and preparing for the future. We have this idea that there are some goals in our mind, but we never get down to the goals themselves. We just think about the future and worry about the future or wish for the future instead of getting to a place where we're outside of our wishes and worries and we're actually doing something to make those pieces come to pass. So what do we do? We acknowledge what has already happened. We've acknowledged where we are and take responsibility for that. Now, I've talked about this many times, and it always is an important point, I think, to remind myself of how I need to take responsibility for where life is right now. Sometimes I like to get away from that, right? To avoid thinking about where life is right now and take responsibility for acting on it, because it's easier to step aside and pretend that this isn't my fault. I have nothing to do with this. Instead of saying, how can I be 100% responsible? The last podcast was an interview with somebody I really admire, Jack Canfield. And in that episode, we talked back and forth some about taking responsibility. I've said it in previous episodes. He says it too, about at least pretending to be 100% responsible. You may not really believe it, but to pretend that you're 100% responsible, how can I be responsible for what's going on around me right now? How am I able to respond? That's responsible, able to respond. How can I accept also where we are right now? You know, at the moment when I was sick, I could have wished that I wasn't sick. The problem was I was, and I had to accept that if I was going to move forward and figure out how to get through the illness and how to move to the next chapter of my life. It was some acceptance. One of the founders of life coaching and one of my early teachers was Thomas Leonard. Thomas Leonard died much too young, but in the process left behind a huge amount of ideas. And one of his ideas was the idea of the present perfect. And what he meant by that, he wasn't talking about a lesson in English, right, that there's the present perfect. And he wasn't talking about the fact that the present is perfect, that everything you want is here, as much as the present is perfect in the sense that it's a perfect representation of where you've been, of what's happened to you. This moment is an accumulation of all the moments before you. And so where you are is exactly where you are because of that. It's present perfect. The present perfectly reflects where you have been, where your journey has taken you. And once you accept that, once you decide to be responsible for that, you can change the future. You can move it in a different direction, but you have to start with accepting what is. And when you decide to accept what is, then you're free to take action that might change where you're headed. And this requires a reorientation, a re-understanding that we can't be stuck in the out there is out there, and I've got to be thinking about it and processing it and worrying about it and wishing for it, as much as to reorient to the moment, to now. The reorientation is to the time and the moment. One of the things I always notice is that whenever I'm rushing, whenever I'm trying to get somewhere, whenever I'm impatient, what it's really telling me is I've stepped out of the present. I've stepped out of this moment and trying to get to somewhere else. Not only that, but it's activated by anxiety. If I'm rushing somewhere and I'm worried and anxious, it's letting me know that I've gotten to that place where I'm looking out there for what's going to happen. Now, that's a dangerous thing, right? That because it keeps me outside of my safe area. It keeps me outside of my zone. And so I've got to make sure that when I'm out there, I'm really thinking about what's going on right now. When I'm in line and the line is going too slow, my anxiety over what I need to do next is there. I was talking with somebody because they've been in an accident and they were hurrying to get to the place they needed to get to. And, you know, I said, what happened? I mean, how did this happen to you? And the person said, well, you know, I was just trying to get to the place I need to be. And this person in front of me was going way too slow. And before I knew it, they'd slammed on their brakes and I ran into them. And I said, so are you thinking that you have some responsibility? Oh, no, that person in front of me hit the brakes and shouldn't have. And I said, but were you not the one who was trying to get there faster because you had put yourself behind? Notice how that cascades. She was worrying about where she needed to be, rushing to get there because of that anxiety, and then refused to accept responsibility for what had happened. We do that daily in life. We're stuck in trying to get somewhere quick because we're anxious about what might happen. I often notice that people have this idea that somehow life has this experimental nature to it, that if this hadn't happened to me, then this is what would be true, as if there is some control variable level of experiment in your life. Do you remember that in college or high school where you studied science and there was the control group and then there was the variable group? And the control group is where nothing happened. You know, everything just went on the way it was. The variable group, something happened to. And we act as if life events come our way and we're the variable. But why can't we be the control is always lurking in that structure of wondering why we can't just have not had that happen. And then we begin to think about what might else happen, and we begin to think about that as the kind of the experiment, the grand experiment. But life is one big experiment. There's just no control. What happens along the way becomes what is. That makes the present perfect. So if you find yourself thinking way down there, out there, and worrying, notice that worry is attached to the what ifs. But life is lived in the what is, the moments of what is. Watch a child. That child is doing what is right there in front of them, living life in that moment. So here are a few antidotes to living in that life of worry, the what if. The first thing is to go with what's right now. When I was sick and somebody would say to me, do you know all these things that could happen? Yes, I knew they could happen, but I had to live with what's right now. Right now, I'm not feeling well and I've got to take medicine and I've got to keep moving forward. That's enough to occupy me. Right now, I've always learned, is plenty to keep me busy, plenty to keep me tied up, and plenty to keep me focused. So focusing on right now is enough. There's only so many resources. Focus on what is right now. So ask yourself the question as you're thinking about things and you find yourself worried and you pulled in by that. Say, what's right now? What is the right now? Not a day from now, not a week from now, not a month from now. What's right now? What's in this moment? And then to practice patience, to step back, take a deep breath, and recognize that when you're impatient, you're caught up in some future tense, some what if. And to focus on the patience of the moment. Another antidote is gratitude. I've talked about this many times because it's such a core concept. When you end up working from a grateful perspective, you cut out the wishing perspective and you cut out the worrying perspective because you're grateful for what is right now. So begin to work on a gratitude journal, finding some things to be grateful for each day. I recommend at least three, finding three things either in the morning and the evening for which you are thankful. If it's in the evening, for which you were thankful that day. If it's in the morning, you can think about what you're thankful for that previous day, but you focus on three things for which you're grateful. And once you have those three things for which you're grateful, at the other end, whether it's in the morning because you wrote them down at night or at night because you wrote them down in the morning, just look at it again and remind yourself of that gratitude. Gratitude pulls us back to now because I'm grateful for something right now. I can't be grateful for something that's not happened, and I can't be grateful for something way back. I'm grateful for what is, and that brings me back to here. And the final antidote is acceptance, to recognize that you can fight with things, but it doesn't change things. We can be upset with things. When I was a chaplain, I used to hear people all the time fighting with diagnoses and accidents and all kinds of things that had come their way. And their tendency was to live in either the past or the future because of that. Acceptance brings us to the present. When we accept what is, we're living in what is. Work on finding your place to be able to say, let's see what happens. That's, for me, one of those pivotal questions. Let's see what happens. It keeps my mind open to the possibilities down the road without closing in on the worries or the wishes. Let's see what happens. Live in the what is, not the what if. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best for a thriving life.
Listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.